Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Good morning, everybody, and happy Wednesday. Today on the radio show, we got John Martin in the next segment. We got Chris Harrington straight up at 10 o'clock. We don't have Sam Hardiman. Don't you think it's Brad Marchand? Don't you think that's it? You
know, it has to be at this point.
Gotta be.
Because he's
won in titles for other teams.
And he's been awesome. It's not like, oh, well, he's just like ring chasing. He's been a significant part of it.
No, exactly right.
It's gotta be brutal.
That's what I asked. It's gotta be absolutely brutal as a Bruins fan.
I mean, you can relate. When you have,
oh yeah, it's a little bit taste. It's my
except
recurring
none
nightmare.
Of your guys offered you a championship.
Yes, that's the thing. They were never great in Buffalo. They never did anything for my beloved Sabres. Ryan O'Reilly goes on to win the Stanley Cup in St. Louis and is the MVP. Jack Eichel goes on to win the Stanley Cup in Las Vegas. Was he MVP? I don't know. Probably. I don't think he was, actually. Maybe Mark Stone, who was MVP that year. And Sam Reinhart wins the Stanley Cup in Florida. And now, like, Jeff Skinner could win the Cup for Edmonton, but he's not a reason why, so I don't count that. And none of those players ever won a damn thing in Buffalo, and then they all win Cups elsewhere. So, yeah, this is very different. But anyway, I got to presume that this has Sam reeling. Honestly. That's what life is. Life is a combination of joys and trials. The joy, he got a hole in one recently, and the trial is he's got to watch Brad Marchand. It's sort of interesting, Boston fans now. It feels like their life is watching their great players do great things for other organizations. Right?
They had a pretty good run.
They had a hell of a run. I actually think lifetime run. I think if you were a Boston fan during this Red Sox, Bruins, Celtics, Pats century, you literally, if there's not another title the rest of the century or the rest of your lifetime, you got more than you deserved.
The only problem is it spoiled you. Like, you got a lifetime of winning, but then you are now used to that. Like, that is your...
Is that a downside of winning? I would love to know this challenge.
No, I mean, like,
is it a downside of winning
a
championship?
I'm not saying I would trade it, but, like, the problem is...
Does it now, though? So, here you go. You all win. You won a Super Bowl. Your Giants won two. And so, right now, does it spoil you? You just have the memory of it keeping you warm at night.
I mean,
these dark days, but it doesn't. You don't expect that. Maybe for Alabama, it has set expectations.
Right.
Maybe the days right after, the years right after. But then,
the problem is the Giants were not consistent. Like the Pats, I mean, almost every single year. I mean, what I think Brady got knocked out in the divisional round a couple of times, but for the most part, like it's not just the championships. It's the fact that you were like the story every single year. Where the Giants, it was like runs,
right. Let me ask you this, just real quick. So let's we think about various local universities that we call local. I consider them local because they were the teams that back when the CA was the paper of record in this community in this region, they were the teams that we covered. And so, what's the current state of happiness, morale, spoiledness, whatever that word is,
privilege.
When it comes to some of our local universities. So, how are Tennessee fans feeling about the state of things?
I think in general, still optimistic because you believe in.
The whole athletic program.
Right. That's what you believe in, the people that they have. So, like, even if, you know, last year, like, yes, you get beat in the playoff and whatnot, but it's like you were one of the three teams that made it. Now you got the whole Nico thing that's weird, but still fundamentally, I think people believe in Heupel.
Your baseball program has been crushing it. Your basketball program is good every year, and it honestly does feel like they'll break through and get to a Final Four at some point, doesn't it?
Yeah, I mean, I just doesn't like they it? Keep knocking at the door.
Yeah, so I mean, how can you not be happy about that?
Yeah, I think fundamentally good.
The Lady Vols are not what they once were, but they're. Up trending up, I believe. Is that
I
not
think
right?
It might be related.
They like their new coach, but yes, they probably were spoiled. I think there's a perfect example. And then football, you know, I mean, this isn't the Fulmer era where you were one of the top five programs in America.
Yeah, but you're also not in an era where Georgia is
awful. So, but I think you should be pretty happy. I did recently read a piece about the online discontent with Heupel. That like, oh my God, here with the criticisms. He won before it was his players, right? He won with Pruitt's players.
Year two, yeah.
And that was his best year, and it was like 23 star, whatever. There were a bunch of, he won with, and he was supposed to be an offensive genius, and he's not. The offense has crashed back down to earth. It's now, no, it's good. The defense is good. The defense is good, and the running game is good. What happened to all these points we were promised, all this high-flying offense? And by the way, now that he's got his own players, can't do it anymore.
I mean, he matched his best season, though.
He did, right.
Like I'm
just saying that was the online discontent.
No, I mean, I will say this. I think all parties deserve some blame, but like I do think not having Nico this year is going to put him in an uncomfortable spot next year.
Is there any? There's no record this year that would put him on the hot seat this year. There is things that could happen this year that could put him on the hot seat next year.
I think it would be very difficult for him to get fired this year. Scandals.
But could you see a year unfolding this year that? Then we're heading into next year, Heupel is considered a hot seat guy.
Yes, I can.
Okay, let's move on. How are Ole Miss fans feeling about things?
Fundamentally pretty good.
Really good, right?
Yeah.
I mean they're relevant in football, which they weren't in forever, and right. Some of it's just literally because the charismatic personality of their coach, but they're also better.
Yeah.
Right? They're also better. Basketball? Coach stayed.
Yes.
My God.
Twice.
The coach stayed.
They made a Sweet 16. That's only the second time it's ever happened.
Yeah.
Now, baseball,
Baseball was a consolation when everything else sucked anyway, right? Basically, right?
Well, it was what they poured into because they thought they could win in it.
Right. And they could. And they did.
Correct.
But I think you got to be pretty happy if you're Ole Miss fans.
Yes, I would agree.
State?
That's the one where, I mean, you're happy because they go and they get Brian O'Connor, who I think is a very good coach. For baseball, but you're in this weird spot of asking yourself, did we just like publicly announce like we're just going to try to win in baseball and that's really about it?
I mean, that's the thing. Weirdly enough, in this day and age where, quote unquote, it doesn't matter what conference you're in, it doesn't matter. Like, it doesn't matter what your history is. If you just spend, look at Texas Tech, right? If you just spend, Texas Tech isn't Texas, it's not Texas A&M. It just spent doesn't have that history, and so weirdly, and look at what's happening at Ole Miss.
Yep,
Ole Miss is like, oh, you know what? We wake up, it's a new day. All we got to do is spend, and it feels as hopeless as ever in Mississippi State, though, doesn't it? And I will ask you this: how about Arkansas? Is that somewhere in between? Obviously, you get Cal.
Yeah, Arkansas
rescued the basketball season. Well, basketball has always meant. Something there. It's always been significant there. Look at the baseball team.
Yeah,
killing it.
I think for the most part with Arkansas right now, like with the Cal team this year, like it was a roller coaster, but I think you got to a place that at the end you felt good. Like they make it to it. Like
very,
it,
yes.
If you say you're going to make the second weekend in year one,
100%.
Like you feel good about
Patino, it. Yeah, like, yeah.
And John looks like he still has something in the tank. Like, you know what I mean? Like he still seems motivated.
The problem is his football is king and.
Correct. And you don't feel great about it.
Okay, let me ask you this. If we're throwing Memphis in there, right? Just mood of the fan base, 1 to 10, how do you feel about the present and future of your sports teams? Okay. My view would be, honestly, it's possible that the happiest fans in the ranking them, who is highest on the happiest meter is Ole Miss fans. Because Tennessee fans are more expectant. It's the old spoiled thing.
Sure.
They have higher expectations than Ole Miss fans, and so Ole Miss fans are happier. I'm going to go Ole Miss, then Tennessee.
The problem with Memphis is, doesn't it feel like Memphis is kind of in their Ecclesiastes era? Like, everything's meaningless under the sun.
I don't think, my own view is that, and maybe I could be wrong, my view is that Memphis fans, in terms of how they feel about their athletic programs right now, is somewhere 4.2 out of 10.
Yeah, and
because it feels like,
exactly.
Hold on, once upon a time we dreamed. We dreamed of winning national titles in basketball, and we dreamed, never came true, but we dreamed about making it over the wall and becoming a Power 5, back in the day, Power 5 school, just like our friends at Louisville did. Like, there were dreams, and there were celebrations when they got into the Big East, which then folded, and there were celebrations and that they might get into the Big 12, and there were dreams. Now, the dreams are small. Like, what the problem is that we are going to be the biggest spender in the AAC is not exactly something to plant your flag on and rally. Like, in the end, people, you don't get, again, once upon a time they did, you don't get 16,000 consistently filling a basketball arena, which is once upon a time what they did, because you're better than UAB.
Right.
You get it because you have Calipari and you've been to the Elite Eight and you think you're going back to the Elite Eight and you have the best recruit in the country. Like, that's what brings you.
You're nationally relevant at the
highest
level.
You're nationally, not just, clearly, historically, we would argue, is Memphis a top 25 program, but at various times they were very clearly a top 10 program for stretches of times,
absolutely.
Right? So you're a top 10 program, and so Memphians flock to the place. Right now, I think it's just true. I think Memphis Athletics is in a tough spot, and I don't think it has anything to do with what Ed Scott is doing.
No,
I think he's doing a very good job. I think it is the hand they have been dealt, that history has dealt them, the previous administrations have dealt them, and they are fighting through it, and they're trying their damnedest. But it is weird at a time when you've got a football program that consistently wins.
Phil Steele has him as his number one team in the conference. And I think he had him 27 overall and third best chance to make the playoffs.
So you have a football program that consistently wins. You have a basketball program that now is back to going to the tournament. And it's got a civic icon running the thing. To feel as bad as you do about it. Maybe you don't. Let me ask this. Here we go. 445-0929, 445-0929. 1 to 10, how do you feel, Memphis fans, how do you feel about the present and future of Memphis sports? I could be wrong. I think you are feeling, what did I say, 4.2? I think you're a 4.2. But maybe you're a 10. You're not a 10. Maybe you're an 8. Maybe some of you are.
Can we add a poll?
445-0929, 445-0929. Maybe people will win. I have no idea. This is totally spontaneous. Well, if we were to do a poll on a scale of 1 to 10.
I mean,
you'd have to go 0 to 3,
yeah.
3 to 6, 6, whatever. 0 to, what would you, how do
so
you carve that
four
up?
Options. Let me take some call. I'll get some calls.
We'll see. I could be all wrong here. About how folks feel about this. 445-0929. And by the way, we were going to talk about Zach Edey. We will. We got 4 months now. He's going to be here. Here's the news. he's going to be reevaluated in 4 months. So we got time. 445-0929. You tell me. I think Tennessee fans would be at an 8. I think Ole Miss fans would be at an 8. I think State fans be at a 3.6. And I think Arkansas fans, because they got other things, would be at a 5.8, 6.2. 445-0929. But I don't know about Memphis fans. Maybe I'm wrong. 445-0929. Who are we going to?
Jeff, we're
going to
start with Tony and Bartlett. Tony, you're on.
Tony.
Hey, how you doing, Jeff? I got to say, I'm at like a 7.0.
Really?
Let me tell you why. Because I think with the way that things are laid out, if you're getting the $20 million roughly that you're supposed to get, wouldn't it be true that some teams in the Power Five might be in a worse position than you?
Okay, and but you, hold on. Like you're not getting any extra money. You're not getting. No one's giving you $20.5 million. You can spend up to $25, and Ed Scott has said they're going to spend roughly half that. So
okay.
So,
but I guarantee you, there are going to be some teams that's in another conference
that are spending less.
They're spending less, and it gives you the opportunity to leverage your way up and to present yourself to move up. Because I guarantee you, there is going to be movement in other conferences, and that'll give Memphis the opportunity. Memphis has something that a lot of people don't have. That's why they're so salivating to the new conference that's created. You have, when it comes to TV viewership, we watched Memphis.
I've believed this all along. I 100% believe that Memphis has something that other schools don't have, which is a whole city. You know, like, again, SMU wins in Dallas. Dallas doesn't give a flip, right? And now, mind you, their boosters do, and their boosters are ponying up. That makes a difference. But Memphis does have, yes. Yeah, thank you.
I want to make a challenge to all Memphis fans. Right now, season tickets, you can buy them.
Okay.
Instead of complaining, buy season tickets, and you can change the outcome.
Change your circumstances. Thanks, Tony. Tony's a 7. 445-0929, 445-0929. The problem is, he thought they were going to be getting $20 million. I'd feel pretty good if they were getting $20 million. They're not getting $20
million. I do think Tony is correct. There are going to be a lot of P4 schools that are not spending $20 million.
Where do you think they will be relative? Will they be right in the mix with Purdue in, you know, whatever?
I think they'll be competitive with like the bottom half of the ACC.
In the Big Ten and the SEC, you're getting a check that's much bigger than what you can actually spend from TV. In Memphis, you're getting a check from the AAC that's much smaller than what you can actually spend. Huge difference there. I'm just curious. How do y'all feel about the present and future of Memphis athletics? And I want to be optimistic. I think it's a tough time because I wonder if people still dream. Maybe that's why when Ed Scott even tweets about Boise, like people, there's a spark. There's life. You're saying there's a chance? Who do we got?
Jeff, let's go to Terrell in Memphis. Terrell, you're on.
Hey, Terrell.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
I'm at about a 5.
Why at a 5?
Memphis, growing up in Memphis has been mostly a basketball town with the University of Memphis. Even when we have anything to dream for, we had the key rivalries that made the season just what it was, whether it was Arkansas when they had Todd Day and Lee Mayberry,
yep,
or whether it was the Cincinnati rivalries. We had the games that brought the city out. On top of that, our star players, my old time growing up, were Memphis players. We grew up watching Elliott Perry and Penny Hardaway and these hometown heroes take our team and our city to heights, whether it was the NCAA tournament or just being able to watch them in the city rallying behind them. And we knew our players. They're transferring so much now that we don't get attached to our players like we used to.
I think that's all right. I think that's all correct. Thank you very much. I appreciate it. You can't say that this is better. You just can't. You can't say this is better. By the way, you made this. You fired up a poll.
I did.
How about this? Jeff Calkins Show poll. How do Memphis fans feel about the present and future of Tiger Athletics? 0-3, 4-6, 7-9. I like the way they carve this up.
Perfect
10. What's going to win? 4-6 is going to win.
I think 4-6
overwhelmingly.
Yeah,
is my prediction. All right, we'll take one more call on this. Who do we got?
Jeff, let's go to Alan in Midtown. Alan, you're on.
Hey, Alan.
Yeah, guys, I want to give you some facts.
He's a Tennessee guy. Alan's a Tennessee guy. He's coming with the facts. Go ahead, Alan.
Yeah, they got a 30,000 seat waiting list for football.
Yeah.
They won the All Sports Award 3 years in a row. We lost to Texas this year. They sold more tickets the last 3 years than any school in America. And they got a budget of $280 million.
That's why I put you all at an 8. Would you put yourself even higher than that? In terms of how?
I put it at a 10. It's never been better.
Well, Ten is winning national titles in football.
Every sport on the campus made the postseason. 10 of them made the top 10.
Yeah, it's pretty damn good. I agree, Alan. Thanks very much. Appreciate it. I still don't put them at a 10. I don't think you're a 10.
I think the problem is football controls so much.
And football's in a good place.
100%.
So
we're not saying that this is the Pruitt era.
Let's be honest. Who, with all due respect, who cares about the All-Sports Trophy in real life? It's nice. You know, Stanford wins that, right? Yeah. Stanford usually wins that. Or Florida. Those are the ones who usually win that. Stanford used to. Stanford's got a – it's a new day for Stanford. So I would get – so I think they're super happy at an 8, but I don't think you're a 10 if you're not even in the national championship game in football.
Correct.
Because you are. You've won national championships.
Yes, in most people's lifetime.
All right. Who do we think is going to win this poll?
I think four to six.
Yeah. I that was good work to fire that sucker up.
My buddy Chase Parham has said he thinks the key ingredient in this era is, like, you've always had to be able to sell hope, but he thinks it's shrunk to, even if you want to think about it, team-specific or program-specific, like we would with Memphis, where it's either you have to be hopeful about this year or you have to be hopeful about what is coming down the pike. Like, if you're in the portal and you're a factor and whatnot, like, he thinks that it's no longer just about, like, we're kind of building something, but it's like it's immediate.
I think the other thing that Alan points out, though, is that it is fun to join a movement, right? Like a gathering. And so when you have a waiting list and season tickets in football, when you have all this, like a community, right? You know what I mean? Like when you feel like you are a part, like Ole Miss baseball didn't have the year that they wanted to have, right?
Yeah.
It's fun.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
They have a massive stadium. Yeah, something to do in the spring.
So yeah. I do think that there is some of that is, okay, we had a bad year, but the enterprise is in this great place where everyone goes and they have fun.
Well, they needed a bounce back, and they got that.
All right. I may be wrong. Okay, we got distracted by this. I'm in a good mood today, Jeffrey. You know why?
Why's that, Jeff?
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building
a life. For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Because the last day before you go on vacation, and it's not really a vacation, but I'm going away for a wedding, and it's 3 days of missing radio. I think it's the first 3 days I missed this year. Have I missed a day? I don't think I missed a whole day this year. And so I would make this argument, though. Whatever you do for a living, your last day at work before you head off on even a long weekend, that's a good day.
Pepping the step.
Don't you think? Which is a better day? The first day back or the last day before you leave? Because the first day back, you could feel refreshed, ready to go. Last day before you leave.
Well, we're in kind of a different, we're in a different setup because oftentimes your first day back, it's like, what have I missed?
So then you get to weigh in on all the things you've missed.
Well, but also, on top of that, there's also like some like, you're playing catch up.
You're catching up. But anyway, yeah. So the good
But I agree. There's a pep in the step before.
The last day before you go, because you know when you walk out that door, it's, you know, and no matter what you do, I think you all probably really relate to that. And the good news is that we got Drew Hill sitting in the chair. And if you want anyone to, you know, I'll make sure. I don't know that I'll listen for the full 2 hours that I'm away every single day.
You always get caught up on the podcast.
That's what I'm saying. I will catch up. I will not miss the Drew Hill. Because, listen, you can listen to the Drew Hill, Chris Harrington pod that they do over at the Daily Memphian, and should. It's terrific. But here you're going to get Drew and Chris, who are basically your authorities on Grizzly basketball every day at 10 o'clock. Yeah, each of the next 2 days. And so I certainly won't want to miss this. We did have the news, and I touched on it fleetingly, Jeffrey, that Zach Edey is going to be reevaluated in 4 months. What's the date of today, Jeffrey?
Today is June the 11th.
Okay, so 4 months would be July, August, September, October 11th. I use my fingers.
Yep.
October 11th. Last year, the NBA season began October 23rd. So when you saw the news will be reevaluated in 4 months, how did it hit you? Was it positive? Was it negative? Was it neutral? How did 4 months being reevaluated in 4 months sound to you?
It was slightly on the optimistic side of the number that I had in my head. Because if you start to do the, okay, reevaluated in 4 weeks, Parker Fleming pointed out that typically on after like surgery, it's 4 weeks and then it's like a 6 to 8 week ramp up of getting back into shape. And that put it somewhere around December, like the end of November, early December.
Well, if it's 8 weeks, that gets you almost to Christmas. That gets you to mid-December.
Correct. But it's like, what if it's on the 6 week side? You know, I mean,
yes.
Like if it could be on the short
side. I think it struck me the other way. I think it struck
longer.
Me as
well. I had in my head January 1.
Oh, yeah.
See, I was setting an over-under of January 1.
I was still optimistic. And so it just brought home to me, ugh, this is going to suck. Yeah, it just drove that home to me that if I knew he was going to play in 4 months, I'd sign up for that. But he's going to be reevaluated.
Because if it was going to play in 4 months, like, yeah, he's probably missing camp, but he's going to be close to ready at the start of the season. So last year, like, let's say if you wanted to use your Christmas day, it's basically missing 30 games.
Ugh.
If we use last year's schedule.
All right, Jeffrey, let's do this. I'm going to offer you, as I do sometimes, mm-hmm. a deal. I'm going to tell you Zach Edey is going to miss 35 games. But after that, he will be back. I'm not guaranteeing perfect health on everything. Like he could break up, he could fall and break his arm, right? I'm not guaranteeing you he's going
to
be
good. The ankle will be good to go.
I'm going to tell you that he's going to miss 35 games, and then the ankle will be good to go. Will you take that?
I think I'm going to pass it, and I'm going to hold out for a little bit more because 35 games is around January 3rd.
I would not take 35 games. That's a big chunk of the season.
I do think if you told me 25 games, I would sign up.
I might take 25 games. I think I might take 25 games. How are we doing on our poll?
Jeff, let's see. The poll question for today is, how are Memphis fans feeling about the present and the future of Tiger Athletics? So far, 68% say they're in the 4-6 range. 16% say both the 7-9 range and the 0-3 range. Nobody is a perfect 10.
Well, a perfect 10 would be ridiculous.
Correct.
There's no reason.
But we don't have any trolls. These.
And then we're going to take a break. Well, I'll ask John Martin these questions here in a little bit. I feel a little bad for Memphis for Memphis. I feel good about men's soccer and women's soccer in Memphis. Shout out, by the way. However you feel about this stuff, the men's and women's soccer team and the progress that's being made on the new facilities over there, the future is very bright. Men's U.S. men's soccer, though, the problem with it is we only talk about them when they stink it up.
I mean, we would talk about them if they were good.
Well, we wouldn't have, if they had beaten Switzerland last night. We would not talk. We would not have mentioned it. If they had beaten Switzerland the way that Switzerland beat us, right?
We
did talk about it once upon a time when we beat Colombia and then Escobar
of course
got shot. That was a horrible day when he got shot. But there was times we have talked about. You're right. It takes a level of triumph though in U.S. men's soccer, like World Cup level stuff, right?
Yeah.
Which, by the way, 1 year from today.
Well, I mean that's the problem.
That's the problem. The problem is that we played Switzerland in a friendly. And lost 4-0.
And it was 3-0 basically 30 minutes in.
And all four goals in the first half, there was booing. There was booing. And Mauricio?
Pochettino,
who's the new skipper.
Correct.
He's now lost four straight. He's lost five of his first 10. Now, in fairness.
Best players are not playing.
And you know me because... You turn to me in the same way that perhaps you turn to me for insight about softball.
For sure.
You come to me for insight on men's soccer. But I'll read from the Athletic story. Nothing about U.S. men's national team's first half against Switzerland in Tuesday night's embarrassing 4-0 loss was good enough. The first 45 minutes, all four goals were conceded in the opening 36. Almost indescribably bad. The four-goal halftime deficit marked the worst half for the U.S. men's national team since 1980. The U.S. failed to record a shot on target in a home match for the first time since a 4-0 defeat to Argentina in the 2016 Copa America. As U.S. legend DeMarcus Beasley said on the TNT broadcast, "I've never seen a U.S. team play that poorly in a half of football." So there you go. Now here's the problem. This is either the problem or the source of hope. 10 players were not available, including their best players. Right.
Yep.
Pulisic was not available. Right. He's not playing in Europe. A grueling schedule. Correct. Whatever. Couldn't play. There's been some back and forth with Landon Donovan. Whatever. Yep. About this. There's some ill will about this. But that's so. But then the other thing is. Our man Mauricio, he started, you know what we're going to do? We're going to bring some dudes up and give them a chance.
Yep.
And they were terrible.
Correct.
And they were terrible. It turns out we don't have that many good soccer players. We got a pool of about 20 good soccer players. And if a bunch of them can't play.
It gets real bad real fast.
It gets real bad real fast, which it did. And so so that's the dilemma. And there's real angst about our man. And wondering how this will go because it's 1 year from today that the World Cup begins. First match, Mexico City. It's in Mexico City. This is a World Cup that's split between
North America. It's technically North America.
Yeah,
it's Canada and Mexico are going to have
right. Canada and Mexico are going to have matches, and we will also have matches. By the way, the field has been expanded. They're ahead of the NCAA here. They got 48 now, and The last World Cup final, the TV audience, 11 times bigger than the Super Bowl audience.
Yeah. I mean, it truly is the global game.
It is truly the global game. And it feels like we got to get some things figured out. So there you go. All right. We're going to talk to John Martin coming up next. If you have something that needs framing, you know where to go by now. The Frame Corner, 5035. Park Avenue. It's right there in East Memphis. And it's been there. They've been doing what they do. custom framing for 50 years. Alan's going to like take everything you teach, take everything you teach over there. What's a cup? The director's, what is it called? The cup?
It used to be called the Capital One, like Director's Cup.
It was called the Director's Cup. You win the Director's Cup, you should take that, some certificate over there to a frame corner and get that sucker framed. Stick it up on your wall, in your orange, you know, whatever, sports room. Anyway, it is the Frame Corner, 5035 Park Avenue, 50 years of custom framing. So whatever is important to you, bring it in there, and they will make it look beautiful. You'll have it forever. Really, it's preserving memories. That's what they do at the Frame Corner, 5035 Park Avenue. We're going to come back, talk to John Martin. All right, let's prediction. Where's John going to fall on his level of optimism, his feeling about Memphis sports, present and future?
4-6.
Okay, but give me what's the closest numeral, rounding up?
4.
Is he below 4? No, he's going to be in the 4-5 range.
I think he's
4-point something.
Yeah.
I think that's what I was. I think that's what John will be. We'll do that when we return. Then Chris Harrington. It is the Jeff Calkins Show, 92.9 FM ESPN.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
DSW's semi-annual sale is back. Take 40% off all clearance shoes in stores for a limited time. Literally every single clearance item at your DSW store is on sale right now. Sneakers, sandals, any style. If they're on the clearance racks, they're 40% off. So what are you waiting for? Don't sleep on these savings. Get to DSW ASAP. It's all or nothing, people. Shop the DSW semi-annual sale today.
All right, back on the Jeff Calkins Show. A big happy birthday to Dennis Fuller, former colleague, who's out there rattling around now, invaluable to the operations in this place for so many years. It's Dennis's birthday, evidently, according to Facebook. John Martin is invaluable now. He joins me now. Jason DeJohn, every single day from 11 till 2. John, I am leaving for 3 days. Just 3 days, mind you. Like, you'll take 3 days off at the drop of a hat. Me, it's a long time. It's the first days I've missed since I've been here. And since the start of the year. I maintain that the day before you go on even a brief vacation, one of the best work days, right? Isn't it a great day? Like, the day before you go, magnificent.
Oh yeah, it's like it's like last day of school, you know.
Although you could argue that there's a lot of stuff to get done. You got to race around. It's like last day of school.
I don't worry about that. When I take off, I take off big. I take off big, dog. Like it's like I'm wiping, you know. And yeah, I mean, some people have hobbies, you know. Like some people like collect sports cards. Some people, you know, like to go hiking. Some people, you know, I like to take off.
You wager. Oh, by the way, have you ever hiked?
Yeah. I mean, I have on a mountain range. No. But have I?
I once had this conversation with Gary.
Hiking is just walking.
No. Let's be honest. Let's define hiking, because I had that conversation with Gary once he had never hiked. Okay, and hiking is. It's not walking your kids around the neighborhood. That is not hiking. Hiking, I think, is a deliberate walk for no purpose other than to get out and walk in nature.
Right.
I think that's a hike. Jeffrey, are you down with my definition of hike?
Yeah, I'm with that.
Okay, and so that's all. That's all that is required. It doesn't have to be, let's call it a mile or more. You know, if you walked 20 feet, I'm not giving you credit for that as a hike. Have you hiked?
I would say that I have hiked, yes.
Do you think most of America has hiked? I think probably not.
I'm hiking right now. I'm walking around talking to you. Hiking.
No, that is not hiking. Hiking. That's not out hiking. Of nature. That's not out of nature.
I'm not out of nature. I see a tree. I see skies.
Let me ask you this, Jeffrey. Jeffrey is walking.
Red roses, too.
Jeffrey is walking around Hyde Lake out in Shelby Farms Park. Is that a hike?
No, I think there has to be like some real... I don't know if you can hike in Memphis. I think there has to be elevation.
No, you could hike through. You could definitely.
Maybe if you want to go like Shelby Forest or whatever.
I think
like,
you could, even at Shelby Farms, I think if you go in through the woods, it's a hike. I'm not sure that, I think it's a walk around the lake.
I have a standard with a little bit more elevation.
You need elevation. There's no hiking.
Yeah.
That's not true.
That's
mountain climbing, but like.
I don't think there has to be elevation. You don't think anywhere? No, I don't.
It's too flat.
I disavow that. Anyway.
That sounds highfalutin. It does.
No, I just have standards. This is why, you know, the country's going to crap. You guys are just lowering the standards.
Is that why it's going to crap? I have other theories about why it's going to crap. Last day of school was great, though, wasn't it? Is that one of the great days of life?
Yeah, it was.
Oh, my God. That was
especially
good.
Like the last day of school when you're a senior in high school. You know, like,
is that great? No, that then you're wistful.
I loved it. No, I wasn't wistful. I was 18 years old. I was young, dumb, and horny. I wasn't wistful.
I think then you're wistful.
No way.
I think last day of high school is great.
No, I'm not wistful.
For the last day, that's filled with mixed feelings, John.
The only thing that was like, I didn't know, like, where's everybody go now? Like, where, you know?
Well, that's
like,
the thing. You see them again. A period of your life is over. I think lots of people are wistful about high school ending. That last day.
I enjoyed it. I was like, man, you know, my future is finally here. I get to, like, I have to go to school every day. And, you know, I enjoyed it.
All right. We have an impromptu Jeff Calkins show poll up. Because I don't know how do we start about that? How do we even get on this topic?
The moods of how the
I know, but why do we start on the moods of how people are feeling? I don't even know.
I don't even know.
Sometimes it was a long hike from there to here. It was a flat hike. Only downs, no ups.
Yeah.
And the question was, we were just trying to take the temperature of how do Memphis fans, broadly speaking, and we don't speak for all of them, so I even took some calls, how do they feel about the present and future of Memphis athletics scale 0 to 10? 10 being deliriously happy, 1 being incurably morose, okay? And so what were the choices, Jeffrey? 0 to 3.
Jeff, we have 0 to 3, 4 to 6, 7 to 9, perfect 10.
And a perfect 10. I'm 100% confident. Well, I suppose you could be 0 to 3, but I suspect you're in 4 to 6. Is that right, John?
Give me the brackets again.
0 to 3. It's present and future.
Present and future of Memphis Athletics.
0 to 3, 4 to 6, 7 to 9, perfect 10.
You know, I'm going to go 7 to 9. I'm going to go 7.
What the hell?
That surprised me.
Why?
I'm going 7.
Why?
Very specifically, I'm going 7, though. I'm not going 9.
Yeah, but that's
7.
Fine. I was going to ask you. I went 4.2.
Oh, that's a little.
Let me give you my theory, and then you give me your theory, okay? My theory is this. Is that, hey, listen, and it's weird because things are, like, objectively, Memphis football is winning a lot of games. Basketball is going back to the tournament. Consistently, they've got an icon running the place. You look around in some of the Olympic sports, certainly in soccer, you've got, and particularly women's soccer, they've been crushing it. Tennis is really good. Like, there's lots of things to be. But the truth of the matter is, once upon a time, Memphis athletics dreamed, and they could dream, and they dreamt big. Memphis basketball, it was national titles, Final Fours. It was, we can be better than Louisville. It was, we can be better than Cincinnati. It was, we can be better than Houston. It was, are we a top 20 program or not? Like, that was the it was Elite Eights, and it was like, come on, man, this is it was every 4 years a Sweet 16. That was the goal. You could dream of a national title at the University of Memphis. Hell, they nearly won one. And beyond that, the dream was, you know what? We haven't gotten over the mountain yet. We haven't gotten over the wall yet, but we're going to get into the Power Five. We're going to do what Cincinnati did. We're going to do what Louisville did. We can dream. We have big dreams that Memphis football is as what it is, what it is, but it actually can someday be something bigger. And now, despite the good things that are happening, I think it's really hard to dream. You don't really dream anymore of Final Fours for Memphis basketball. How the hell can you when you're getting outspent like this, right? Like when Ole Miss has a bigger budget than you. And does anyone really think that Memphis is ever getting into a Power Five? That used to be it. What they might think is that, oh, they might go join Boise in some best version of the not outside of the Power Four or whatever. So I think it's 4.2. Give me your seven.
Well, part of being hopeful oftentimes is being irrational, isn't it? I mean, there's certainly a level of the, you know, if you're a person who lives in poverty, to escape poverty, you have to believe that you could do it, right? You have to believe irrationally. Like, why would you be able to escape poverty? Yeah, because right. I'm gonna do this. I'm gonna do that. I'm gonna do this. I'm gonna do that. You know, and people will say you're you know. So
okay, so the question is, how do you feel about the present and future?
Uh-huh. Okay, well, first of all, Memphis basketball, did they not just beat Ole Miss by a billion last year in basketball? Did they not just win at Clemson last year? Did they not just beat UConn last year? I mean, they were spending well, but it's not like going into that season, people thought Memphis spent that money well. I remember people texting me saying, man, Memphis' roster, it costs so much money, and it stinks. And Memphis went on to do that, right? Memphis went on to beat all those teams. Yeah, they fell short against Colorado State, but they were still a five seed. You know, that's an odd that I would take. I would say, let's go, five seed. Now, it's going to be tough to beat that every year, right? It's going to be tough to beat that every year. But they're still going to compete. They're still going to win their conference. Like, they still have – they have guys that played at Michigan. They have guys that played in the SEC, multiple guys that played in the SEC. This is not some, you know, disastrous roster. It's weird. You know, like it's just like I don't know how it all comes together, but it's on the surface there's talent. And then with football, like you just talked about it. Like Memphis football was nothing. It was a burden. It was a stain in that athletic department for so long, and now it's going to have this brand new facility, this brand new stadium. It's going to be beautiful. They have home games against Arkansas this year. You know, they could get creative. They can get some games. You know, I think, honestly, if you break it down,
how do you feel about Memphis football and the present and future of Memphis football? I think here's an argument that it is the best it's ever been. Now, the level of excitement isn't where it was under Mike Norvell. It's just not, right? But you're exactly right. Structurally, now they have a path to the playoff, which they didn't under Mike Norvell. Now they have their own stadium, which they didn't under Mike Norvell. And now they actually have a tradition of winning, which has been, you know, established partly through the good work of Fuentes and Mike Norvell. Football, I think you can argue, football alone, you could argue you should be a – I could certainly accept your 7 out of 10 for football.
Yeah, because, you know, one thing that I like Memphis football just gets dudes, you know. Like, they just get players. Like, I don't hear any of the – and maybe that's because I'm in the college basketball circle, so I'm, like, way more sensitive to it. But, like you know, Memphis football doesn't get criticized in the same way that Memphis basketball does. You know, like, they just doesn't have
the high standards, though. It has a different bar.
Well, you might be right, but, like, nobody sits there and says, man, that kid committed to Memphis. Man, Ryan Silverfield, you can't, you know, they just accept
no, and,
that Memphis.
And what's interesting is, I mean, Jeffrey was saying that Phil Steele is really bullish on Memphis football this year. Okay,
but like, that's just one of the things you don't hear, right?
But let me ask, do you believe that Memphis can legitimately hope to go to Final Fours? And do you believe that Memphis can legitimately hope to be a Power Five or Power Four school? Because to me, the two bedrocks of what the dreams have been those two things. And are those two, do you believe that those are even tenable anymore?
Well, I think you can get to a Final Four because it's a single elimination tournament, right? Like, I think it's more of can Memphis be a team that puts itself in position, a program that puts itself in position to be a top four seed every year, right? Because that's just what the math is. You know, like the higher your seed, it was all four number one seeds this year, right? Like, I think we're going to see more of that, not less of that, based on this new format. So can Memphis be that? That's going to be very difficult. I think it's an existential moment for Memphis boosters, for Memphis administrators, to kind of figure out, you know, what they want this to be. I mean, Memphis football did without for so long, right? They just did. I remember Tommy Wiss came on our radio show one time, and he told a story about how he wanted new carpet for his office, right? And Memphis told him no.
Tommy had all these plans. He had people come in, he'd draw plans, whatever else. And then the plans would be reduced to new carpet. And he's like, no new carpet.
Hold on. As they told him no, they were installing new hardwood in Cal's office right above his.
He could hear the hammering.
He'd hear it. He'd hear it being put down. And he couldn't even get new carpet. So Memphis football has done without for so long. So I understand the fans, right? Because there is a little bit of a divide sometimes. I understand that, like, Memphis football fans are like, it's about time. You know, this is the reason why we didn't get into a Power 5 league, because you guys did everything you have behind basketball. And there may be something to that. There may be some fairness to that. They're gonna get the lion's share this go around. So what are you gonna do with basketball, which has been something that's defined you for so many years? I think that's kind of the landscape that Memphis is gonna have to navigate now.
How are you feeling about about game three of the NBA Finals? What's the line, and have you placed any? Speaking of hobbies, this is your hobby. Have you placed a wager?
You know, I kind of look at this as more. I mean, I do enjoy it, but I also kind of look at this as a job. It's a professional thing for me. I bet Oklahoma City -5, -105. There was a little bit of steam this morning on the Pacers. So, you know, that's out there, I think, still. 5 -110, probably. You saw the news yesterday about Halliburton's dealing with a leg thing.
Yep.
If I'm a Pacer fan, I don't like to hear that, because there's only two things that's possible here. One is he's actually hurt, which is bad. Two is he's not hurt and he's making an excuse for why he's not playing well, which is also bad, which means the Thunder have game-planned him and figured him out. If not for an uncharacteristic 15-point blown lead in the fourth quarter, this is 2-0, and it's a domination. The Thunder have pretty much dominated most of the quarters in this series. I don't really know what the Pacers can do to stop Shea. I don't think there's anything they can do to stop Shea. So I just expect that to continue. I expect that defense to travel, and I think it's going to be a hard go for Indiana tonight. I've got Thunder winning -5.
Do you think it's going to be a 5-game series?
No.
You think he'll get one?
I think the Pacers probably win game four, and then it gets wrapped up in six. That's how I see it going. I mean, Indiana is so resilient, man. That's the thing. Like, that's really defined them in this playoffs. And, you know, Rick Carlisle is just one of the best. He's probably top three all time in terms of, you know, just on-floor coaching ability. And in my view, you know, to have taken this team to the finals, Eastern Conference Finals last year, beat the Heat in 2011 with the Mavs, with that roster, Dirk and a bunch of damn has-beens. I mean, that was crazy. So he's definitely one of the best. So I expect him to be able to find some adjustments and scheme up a win in here somewhere. But I think six is the max.
And finally, when you saw the Zach Edey news, reevaluated in 4 months, how did that hit you? Positive, negative, neutral?
Well, how can be positive?
No, but in terms of what you expected, you're like, oh, that's.
Fine. He's going to miss Summer League, but he'll be. Oh my God, he's not going to be back until the beginning of the regular season. The middle. I found it outrageous.
Outrageous. You know,
that he would miss that much time for a routine.
That's what, it hit me negatively. It hit me like, what? We're going to be reevaluating basically as the season tips off.
We know what that means. We know what the Grizz reevaluation looks like, man. So I definitely expected the back half of that to be, you know, we'll be ready for training camp.
You didn't expect that.
I mean, I did. I didn't expect
ready.
Serious.
Everyone else said would be missed. We knew he'd miss the start of the season.
I'm saying the Shams tweet, the initial Shams tweet, the initial one. right? Yeah. The initial one, when he said he's going to undergo, he's undergoing the surgery. Expectation is he won't be. I mean, oh my God! You know, it just,
Okay, yeah, right, yes, but okay.
I didn't expect it to be that long of a recovery.
It's just a pain in the ass. It's a pain in the ass. It sounds like you're hiking out there. Honestly, the birds.
I'm hiking so hard.
So it seems, seems like a hike. Seems like a hike. Thank you, John. Appreciate it. Yep. See you later. It's John Martin. He feels good about everything. That's what happens when you go on hikes, people. All of a sudden, you're overcome with
a life
optimism.
Lesson, go outside.
What?
There's a life lesson. Go outside.
Yeah, go outside. Go for a walk, and all of a sudden, you'll feel better about things, including Memphis football and basketball. That's the lesson. Get out there and hike. If you're selling your home, you might be thinking about one of these instant cash offers. I'm sure you get them over the phone, unsolicited, and you just know those people are going to lowball you. They're not going to, they're going to lowball lowballers. Like they're going to, here, you've got a $300,000 home. We'll give you $90,000. Well, I'm making it up, but you know, it's going to be, it's not going to be anything you want to take unless you are truly, truly, truly desperate. And here's the thing. Even if you are feeling a little bit like, you know what, cash offer's appealing. There's reasons for that. You know, you don't want to have to wait for your home to sell. You don't have to spend money to fix it up. You don't have to keep it clean and looking pristine for showings, all of that. But if you are contemplating taking that kind of an offer, an upfront offer for your home, call Josh Issa and his friends at and the folks at Keller Williams Realty, because he will make sure that you get a good deal. And listen, he's local. He's here. He's not, you know, calling you from some far-flung place. He's going to come to your home, and he's going to make you an offer for full market value for your home. And it's the same convenience as the unsolicited offers, but you're going to get significantly more. No need for repairs, no need for an open house, no need for showings, none of that. And you have up to 4 months to move out. Josh is dedicated to making home.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.